My study looked at asthma in Head Start and early Head Start students, and what we were looking for was to see if there was potentially unmanaged or undiagnosed cases, and the statistics that Karen shared in terms of higher rates of smoking with low socioeconomic, lower education, and the ethnic variations really does impact some of the findings that we found. And I also have no relationships to disclose, unfortunately, either. It would be wonderful to have extra money, but that doesn't happen. And we did receive human subjects approval to perform the study. So asthma is really important, either to diagnose or control, because as the expert panel report shows, asthma, it's a lifelong disease. Once you have it, you always have it. And especially with young children, their lungs are so sensitive that every exacerbation leads to permanent remodeling, so that a completely intermittent, controllable, reversible disease now becomes chronic, irreversible, with COPD, emphysema, and many sequelae from that. So these guidelines have been out since 2007, and unfortunately, as we'll see from some data, even though these children in Head Start, all of them must have a primary provider, they must be seen yearly minimum by their provider in order to be enrolled in the program, they're not well managed, those that do have asthma. So the EPR3 does indicate four components of asthma care, and most important is the assessment and monitoring of asthma. And then obviously education, control of environmental factors in terms of especially environmental secondhand smoke, as well as third-hand smoke. We do a lot, because a lot of parents will say, I don't smoke in front of my children, I smoke outside. Then we talk about the chemicals that are on their clothes and all those factors that lead to exacerbations. And interesting, I am a pediatric nurse, I still work in the hospital. And when we get the kids with asthma exacerbation, we cannot get those parents to believe that they had anything to do maybe with their child being hospitalized. And again, medications are another thing that we need to make sure that those with asthma are able to use and understand the indications of them. So just this is from the EPR3, and this just indicates how asthma is classified, and we do it by severity and what the symptoms are. And the way the EPR3 works is that you're supposed to assess the severity of the asthma. You're supposed to do an intervention. You're supposed to give medications, then bring them back in 2 weeks, and then maintain seeing them. If what you're doing is working, maintain it, and then bring them back, and then step it either down or up if you don't have control. But this would show whether or not somebody is in asthma control, or what level, and obviously, and I didn't put all the graphs in here, but depending on what classification of severity you are is what the intervention should be, and again, very age-specific. I just put up 0 to 4 because in the Head Start and early Head Start population, it's birth until they enter kindergarten, which is about age 5. Okay, so as we know, asthma is a leading chronic illness in children. Depending who you talk to, some people might say obesity, but I'm going to hold my hat for asthma to be the number one problem. And it's really, really important that we do have early detection and that we are monitoring it so that we don't have people who have permanent respiratory issues when they are adults. I was going to say something else, and now I forgot what it was I was going to say. Oh, even today, a lot of the providers are really, they're very reticent to give an asthma diagnosis to a child. The youngest child I've seen diagnosed with asthma has been 8 months old, and I was very impressed with that. There's still a stigma with asthma. I've done lots of studies with asthma in terms of looking at the teachers, looking at the parents, looking at the kids, all different kinds of things. And there still is, people don't know about it, and there is that stigma. And unfortunately, if the military is something that's in your future, a lot of providers don't want to give an asthma diagnosis because unless you can demonstrate that you've been in control, and I'm not sure if it's 5 years or 2 years prior to enlistment, you cannot serve an active military. So a lot of providers are afraid to give that diagnosis, precluding somebody from having that career choice if that is their option. So lots of children, and I went to a lot of sessions on asthma, and it is about 10 million to 14% of children do have an asthma diagnosis. And interesting to me, even though the conventional wisdom today is that once asthma, always asthma, you might have asthma under control, but you'll have it for the rest of your life, the breakdown of the data is, were you ever diagnosed with asthma, and do you still have asthma? So if you've ever diagnosed, really, you still have asthma, you just might be under control. And the highest prevalence for asthma is in ages 5 to 17, So if we can get under control or diagnose a little sooner, because asthma really can be diagnosed by 6 months of age, by 8 months, 40% of the kids who were diagnosed with asthma started wheezing at 8 months old, which I just found that out. That was a statistic I stole from another session from today. Okay, asthma attacks obviously are more likely to occur in younger children. Their airways are smaller. They don't, especially the younger ones, don't have the ability to just run and grab their rescue inhaler. They need to tell the adult who's with them. And as we found out, a lot of the parents don't understand how to manage the asthma if the child is asthmatic. Their attitude is, my child has asthma, of course they can't breathe well. Why would they expect any difference? So their expectation of control can be much, much more improved. And again, 29% of all hospital discharges were for children less than 15. So this age group really needs a lot more intervention in order to maintain good outcomes from their asthma. Okay. And as we know, with so many chronic diseases, there's so many factors that impacted socioeconomics, race, education. So the same with asthma. The lower socioeconomic, the lower the educational level, and African Americans are more likely to have poor outcomes from asthma than the rest of the population. So the purpose of this study was to determine if we had undiagnosed or undertreated cases of asthma in the Head Start and early Head Start populations, and this was going to be our foundation to do more intervention studies with the Family Enrichment Network in Johnson City, New York, which covers about 3 counties now of children. So the rationale, again, economically disadvantaged persons are more likely to develop asthma and have worse outcomes. And in order to be in Head Start and early Head Start, you have to meet federal poverty level guidelines. So we do have economically disadvantaged people. And again, finding undiagnosed and undertreated asthma and assisting them in obtaining medical care can improve the status of this outcome. All the children that were enrolled in the study, all the data was identified when it went to the school nurse at Head Start. When we got it, it was de-identified. So she took off the identifiers with the idea that she then would follow up on those kids that would have potential asthma, because again, they all have health care providers, so to get them seen. Unfortunately, as with many school nurses, there's not enough time, and I'm not sure she really followed up on that. So what we did was, and this was very interesting, so our human subjects, all people enrolled in Head Start have family advocates, and they have to visit monthly to make sure the family's doing okay and to assist them in any issues that come up. So we were going to have the family advocates, who are trusted part of the family now, ask the family to engage in the study, and I'll show you the questionnaire, and then to get consent for them. So in order to do that, though, all these family advocates had to go through our human subjects training, which is very challenging. But they all came because Family Enrichment mandated that they come, and they did pay them for it, but I didn't know that. So there's all these people there, and family advocates are usually Head Start parent graduates. So their educational level was not at the college level. They did great. They seemed very receptive. I thanked them at the end, and afterwards the nurse told me that none of them wanted to be there. They were forced to be there, and they weren't happy to be there. But they still completed it. They got their city training certificate, and they were fine. So each family advocate went. But because the family advocates did this, we got almost 100% of the surveys back, which was really good. It was a yes-no survey. And again, the school nurse got the information. I got it de-identified. And we really based it on the asthma control test. So did your child ever have episodes of wheezing, coughing, chest tightness, or shortness of breath? Did they have a cough that lasted longer than a week? Has your child ever had trouble sleeping because of coughing, wheezing, chest tightness? Has your child ever missed school because of breathing problems? And for these kids, it would be Head Start or early Head Start that they missed. And again, have they used medicine to treat wheezing, chest tightness, or shortness of breath? A lot of kids are on albuterol or an ICS, but they don't have an asthma diagnosis. In the past year, has your child ever been treated in an emergency room for breathing problems? The medical provider told you that your child has asthma, or does anyone in your household smoke? So those were the questions that were asked. So again, the subjects, we got 293 surveys back. And just to look at who makes up the population, 48% were two-parent households and 43.2% were single-parent female households, which you know have one of the highest poverty rates. 2.7 were single-parent male households. We had kinship families and foster homes as well. When we look at Broome County, which is where the majority of Head Start is, or Family Enrichment is located, the demographics are very different. We have a higher proportion of African Americans compared to Broome County. Broome County is 4.4% and Head Start is 21.8%. Also higher Hispanic and a higher other and mixed race. And the, even though it's still majority, well, it's not, but 42% are white, we still have a large breakdown of ethnic variation. Most 25% lack a high school diploma, and 32% reported a need for health literacy and English literacy classes. And this was from their year annual assessment that Head Start is mandated to do. Only 54% work full-time or part-time, 23% receive public assistance, and 28% were ineligible to receive public assistance. So you're working and then you're kind of cut off there. And 16% were ineligible to receive other benefits due to employment. Okay. Very few had private insurance or employer-based insurance. Most of them were Medicaid or Child Health Plus, Family Health Plus, or managed Medicaid. And the biggest concern was finding providers who accept their insurance. And we do have a clinic that does take Medicaid, our DePaul clinic, so most of the children are seen through there. That said, most of them only saw a provider once a year, and that's probably because they were mandated through Head Start, and 10% saw a provider twice a year. Okay, so our results, we found that 14% of the kids had an asthma diagnosis, but of all those 293 or whatever the number was, 95% had difficulty, well, of the 14 with the asthma diagnosis, 95% had difficulty breathing. 56% of the kids lived in households with smoking, so that's pretty high. 90% had a cough lasting more than 1 week. 93% used medicine, and again, this is with children with asthma. So they had wheezing, shortness of breath, or chest tightness, 93%. 78% had trouble sleeping, and 49% were treated in an emergency room or hospital for breathing patterns. So when we look at these kids that had asthma, not most of them are not under control. And I'm not sure if you're aware of how Head Start works, but the teachers are trained to administer the medications. So the nurse really doesn't know when somebody's received an albuterol treatment. The nebulizers are in the classroom, and the teachers administer the medication. So we did do a training session with the teachers so that they would understand a little bit more about treating, about detecting the asthma problems and treating them. This was striking, children without asthma. So these are all the kids that did not have an asthma diagnosis. 31% had difficulty breathing. 41% lived in a household with smoking. 37% had a cough lasting more than 1 week. 17% used medicine. So again, they're given albuterol, they're given a nebulizer, they're never given the diagnosis of asthma. And when they do get a diagnosis of asthma in Head Start, then they have a treatment plan that gets started, kind of like an asthma action plan, but it triggers the nurses to really pay much more attention to them. 30% had trouble and 9% were treated in the emergency room. So our conclusion was that there's a very high likelihood that we have undiagnosed asthma. Children can have other diseases where they wheeze. We're not saying that they do have asthma, but we wanted them to be followed up so that if they did have asthma, they could start getting on the right treatment. And we can definitely demonstrate that asthma in this population was highly undertreated as well for those kids that had a diagnosis. We did a training session with the parents. We had them sign up, and Head Start provides transportation, food, child care, everything. 23 people said they were going to come. The enticement was that we would give them a $10 gift card to Walmart, and that's their store of choice. So I went out and bought $230 worth of gift cards, and four parents showed up. And the thing I found out about that is Walmart does not take back gift cards. So I had to go to Walmart and spend all the rest of the money, and I could not get reimbursed for it. And Walmart is not my store of choice. But I couldn't lose my money. So this showed us. But we did training with those parents. We did training with the teachers. That was a couple years ago, so now we want to go back into Head Start, and we actually want to do in-the-home training with the parents of those kids with asthma, be able to address the smoking, be able to address, do environmental surveys to see what the triggers are, because that's another finding we have, is that kids who do have asthma have no idea what their triggers are, so that we can get a grip on this so that as they advance into adolescence and adulthood that their asthma is controlled. Thank you. Did I go over?